Today's podcast is brought to you by Our Goal Guy, your trusted partner in securing your financial future. Now, let's delve into a topic that's on everyone's minds, the Biden regime and the globalist relentless assault on your financial freedom. In these uncertain times filled with orchestrated chaos and manufactured crisis, it's crucial to safeguard your wealth against the whims of those in power. That's where precious metals come in. Gold and silver have long been revered as the ultimate hedge against economic turmoil, but make no mistake, those pulling the strings don't want you to own them. That's why it's more important than ever for patriotic Americans to take control of their financial destiny. Enter Our Gold Guy. With decades of experience in the precious metals market, Our Gold Guy is your beacon of hope in a sea of uncertainty. No telemarketers, no sales reps, just personalized consultations tailored to your unique financial situation. Whether you're considering rolling over your IRA or discreetly acquiring physical gold and silver coins, Ira, who happens to be Our Goal Guy, will guide you every step of the way. And here's the best part. Mention the show for a complimentary consultation. Don't let the Biden regime and globalists dictate your financial future. Take the first step towards true financial independence today. Visit OurGoalGuy.com and fill out the form to schedule your consultation with Ira. Again, that's OurGoalGuy.com. Your wealth is worth protecting.
I couldn't help but to allow my part-time co-host, the little three-year-old in my lap, for those of you who are listening on audio, you probably can't see him. Even if you're on video, you can only see part of him because he's only getting part of his his head up there. But he is going to have to go, though, because we do have a guest coming up, a gentleman who is, has done quite a bit in his career to expose the truth about guns, gun control, and how we as American citizens can protect our Second Amendment rights. We are very pleased that we're going to have... What did you say? You're not supposed to talk. You're supposed to be the silent co-host. Yes. Stop kicking. Stop kicking the table. You're making noises. We better just cut to a break. Or not the break, an intro, so that I can get him out of the office and bring on our guest. So stand by. Our next guest is a spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation at SAF.org. He's an award-winning journalist and a senior editor of thegunmag.com. He also writes for Liberty Park Press, Conservative Firing Line, and Ammo Land. It's funny, I actually, Conservative Firing Line is one of my favorites, and I actually messed up their name. He also writes for Ammo Land, which is another one of my favorites. He's a communications director for the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. We are very pleased, blessed, and honored to have Dave Workman joining us today. Dave, how are you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm okay. I'm in better shape than my computer, evidently. So it's awful nice of you to have me, and thanks very much for the opportunity.
Thank you for coming on. You know, I've talked to several people. I would say probably 30 or 40% of our interviews have been with Second Amendment defenders. It is that important. And we know that this topic, this is the first one that they need to fall, they being the radical progressives. They need the Second Amendment to fall so that they can go after our other rights. And so that's why it is such an important topic, not just to me, but also to my audience. They can't get enough of it. So tell us, you know, obviously the hot news this week, we had a tragic shooting in Boulder, Colorado. A gentleman walked in and killed 10 people, including a police officer. Now, this has obviously, as Democrats and the progressive left are wont to do, this has been used as a predicate to start pushing again for gun reform, gun control, and everything, gun grabbing. What have you seen, and what are your thoughts on, number one, the shooting, the crime itself, and number two, on what Democrats are doing now?
I think this is... more proof that the Democrats will always try to exploit a tragedy to push their own agenda. Some of the things that they're suggesting right now really have nothing to do with what happened in Colorado or over in Atlanta, Georgia, for that matter. They are talking about more sweeping background checks, but as far as I can determine, both of these shooters passed background checks. Colorado right now has laws on the books that match some of the things that the Democrats, the gun ban crowd, are demanding that we install. And yet the existing laws didn't prevent any of this from happening. Now they want to add a waiting period to the exercise of the Second Amendment rights, which I think that's kind of silly. You know, if you look back at history, back when the instant background check technology was first proposed and then adopted, the idea of the instant background check was to bypass a waiting period, because why should you put a waiting period on the exercise of a constitutional right? That makes no sense at all. There's no waiting period, for example, if you want to go vote. There's no waiting period if you want to attend a public meeting and speak out in support or opposition to an idea. Why should there be a waiting period on the exercise of the right to keep and bear arms? You know, we're not talking about guns here. We're talking about rights, and rights are very special in this country, and all of them must be protected just like all the other rights. You and I make our livings thanks to the First Amendment. If the Second Amendment goes, I can see they're going to be after the First Amendment right away, because they're already making a little bit of headway on that. You know, the cancel culture and the woke people. I wish they'd go back to sleep. But so I think you can see where this is leading. And you even alluded to that just a few minutes ago.
Absolutely. Well, you know, they know that from a constitutional perspective and from a logical perspective, when we look at the statistics surrounding crime and gun ownership, when we look at where are the safest places in the country versus, and the laws that they have versus right, where are the most dangerous, they know that logically speaking, they could never, ever win this argument, which is why they must rely on emotion. They must rely on a populace that quite frankly is not as basically not aware enough, not self-taught enough about the true facts in order to make decisions. So they have to make their decisions based upon emotion, which is why they have to pounce the Democrats. And we'll just call it the progressives. I don't want to say every Democrat. We have Joe Manchin, who's been pushing back. So there's still a few. But well, yeah.
You know, Joe Manchin is an interesting guy. I've never met him personally, but I've watched the things that he's done. He's from West Virginia. He has made it very clear that his constituents are gun people, and they keep sending him back in a state that, you know, by most prevailing logic would be Republican. But Joe gets back, and I think he does a good job representing the people and their mindset of West Virginia. He's right now, I think he could be the most important guy, if not the most powerful guy on Capitol Hill, because he's already telegraphed to the Chuck Schumer crowd that no, he's not going to be supporting their current gun control thing. And I think that stunned Schumer a little bit, kind of cools their jets a little. So, you know, we're going to see how this shakes out over the next few weeks.
We will. And I do hope that he stays. And I also hope, you know, that Schumer and company, they don't try to go after, for example, Lisa Murkowski or some of the Republicans who may be a little bit more, we'll say, open-minded when it comes to to taking away our gun rights. So, you know, we have seen quite a bit of discussion about the national fight to defend our Second Amendment. But at the state level, that has always been, to me, that's been the arena where we have the most say, where we can actually make an impact. And more importantly, where they too, the gun grabbers, you know, they actually can make more headway, you know, affecting the people of an individual state or city. What are some of the hot spots that you guys have looked at as far as places where the citizens need to be woken up, or we need to really put some effort into fighting to protect those citizens' Second Amendment rights?
Well, I think the states that really need attention are the states that, for better or worse, it might appear that the GOP has kind of abandoned them because they don't think that they're winnable. Washington, mm-hmm. California, Georgia now looks like it's it could be in play. But especially in Washington state, we've seen over the last few years how the gun grabbers have marshaled their forces behind some fairly deep pocket billionaires who want to press their gun control agenda. They've passed a couple of public initiatives that were incredibly well funded. One of them cost more than $10 million. The other one was up to, I think, $4 million. And, you know, the firearms community can't match that kind of money. And all politics, revolves around how much money you can put up to buy the advertising space on TV and in the newspapers and to essentially dominate the issue. But I think that Washington and maybe Oregon, if you look at the demographics, the farther away you get from the I-5 corridor in both of those states, the redder those states get. And the idea, I think, is to invest the money to bring those red state voters back out to the polling booth, or to get them to return their mail-in ballots. And I think, you know, we could seriously give them a run for their money. We've had Democrat control in the governor's mansion in Washington state for more than 30 years. I'm about 35, I think. And it's time for a change. Most of the people, I think, are ready for it. And let's hope that in the next election in 2024, they change direction and maybe start rolling back some of these crazy programs, including the gun control programs. I think that's important. Georgia, you know, we've seen some trouble down there. Arizona's another state where I think the GOP, the national GOP, is going to have to spend a lot of money to educate people, to get their message out. And, you know, I just write about this stuff, but I also watch it. And I can understand at the local level how gun owners in particular could be disturbed by what's going on. In Montana this last year, they changed from a Democrat governor to a Republican governor. They've adopted legislation there just about a month ago that brings what they call constitutional carry, you know, permitless carry. And that's a great stride forward, I think. You know, there are a lot of people out there who I think reasonably wonder why it is that you need a permit to carry a firearm for personal protection outside the home. And, you know, we've got the Second Amendment. And according to some of these guys, that's the only permit they need. So, you know, it's watching this process. I think it's important for the public, you know, recruit good candidates, get them out there, finance their runs, help them in their campaigns. Don't just sit back and watch and expect the other guy to do it, because we're all in the same game. And if the boat sinks, we're all going to get wet.
That we are. And that's a perfect segue to my last question. I always like to end with that question, which I'm going to save because I have one more question before the last question. We'll get to it. I know I'm confusing myself already. You did mention Georgia, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, Georgia obviously had another shooting as well. You've written about Georgia and what happened down there. What's the word? What's the word around there? You know, is this state, which is supposedly red turning purple, that's allegedly elected to Democratic senators just now? Is Georgia really a major target that we need to help, I guess you could say?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, you've got Stacey Abrams out there who's really got a seriously powerful political machine and don't sell that short. You know, politics, all politics is local. Tip O'Neill said that. And when you've got somebody who can organize people to vote, whether you agree or disagree, there's a lot of power in that. I think we saw last November, Georgia surprised everybody by not going for Donald Trump. And then in January, we had the special election, and that got tight and tighter and even more tight and even tighter then. And we wound up replacing two GOP senators with two Democrats. And that shifted really the balance of power on Capitol Hill. I don't think people really understand how important it is to vote and make sure that the party that supports your rights or your lifestyle or what you believe in, you got to keep that party in control. Otherwise, you're going to be facing some pretty rough times ahead. And I think the next couple of years, until 2022, we're gonna have a pretty rough ride. And I think in 2022, we're going to see Congress flip. And it's going to flip hard, just like it did in 94. Because right from the outset, as soon as Joe Biden hit the ground running or fell down the stairs in Air Force One, we've seen the Democrats pushing every goofy agenda item that they think they could. Higher taxes, fuel prices have gone up. Biden put the nicks on the Keystone Pipeline. He's talking about more social programs, more taxes. You know, they're coming out of a pandemic like we've had the last year when millions of people lost their jobs. It's pretty tough to say, well, guess what? We're going to jack your taxes up. After a couple of years of that, people are going to say, well, okay, you blew it. We want to change and we're going to change it. And we're going to start fresh.
And we should, for sure. I do have one last question, but before I ask that question, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about what you're doing, you know, sites you're working for, a Second Amendment Foundation. Are you doing any television shows or books or anything coming down the pipe or sticking like me with, you know, we hit our websites. We just try to get the word out through journalism. What's happening with Dave?
Well, the Second Amendment Foundation is involved right now in, I think, 37 different lawsuits. They are getting widely known as the organization that not only deals in education, but in litigation. Alan Gottlieb, who founded the Second Amendment Foundation about 40 some years ago, he and I were chatting the other day, and he said that SAF is responsible for about 80% of all the court pro-gun rulings now that have come down from the various courts. The Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, which is the sister organization, is rising in prominence as a grassroots group because, well, let's face it, the National Rifle Association, where I served on the board for three terms, they've had a lot of problems. And I don't think those problems are going to go away. And what I get from the grassroots people out there, they're looking for some place where they can go and, you know, rely on activities a little bit. Not to say that the NRA is out of the game. Never underestimate the National Rifle Association. But I think the gun owners are looking around to maybe broaden their horizons a little bit. Now, what I do, I'm a journalist. And a lot of people think that I'm a gun rights advocate, and I don't consider myself that, never have considered myself that. I'm a journalist, and my beat is guns. And probably 35, 40 years ago, it occurred to me as I was trying to cover some of these news things that the other side of this issue, the anti-gun crowd, they're not being entirely honest. They deal from an emotional background, and they try to push the emotional battle plan, I guess, Whereas, as a journalist, I try to deal with facts. I don't try to lie to anybody. And I use things like the FBI Uniform Crime Report, CDC data. You can call me a liar, but you can't call that data a liar. Mm-hmm. And when I write about something, I try to base all of that stuff on the facts at hand. This thing that happened in Colorado, I know there's a lot of tinfoil hat stuff flying around out there right now about, guy's a domestic terrorist and all that. And yeah, I haven't seen that yet. And until somebody says what the real motive was, I think it's irresponsible to go flying around on social media making a bunch of accusations. Same deal in Georgia. We don't really have a motive for why that man shot up a bunch of spas, three of them, but he claims it was because he had some kind of a sex thing. Or I don't know. And let's find out first before we go running off at the mouth. And I've written 7 books with Alan Gottlieb. That's always been fun. We had pretty good luck with those. And I write columns, as you mentioned, with Ammo Land. I've got a column at American Handgunner called Insider Online that appears every Friday. Just Google it up. As you also noted, I write for Conservative Firing Line. I'm the editor-in-chief at the Gun Mag now, editor of Liberty Park Press. I write for Northwest Sportsman, which is a column on shooting and hunting, and I like that. It's kind of a break from the other stuff. So I've been pretty busy out there.
Well, that's good, and we need you to be busy because, again, we're facing a war of knowledge. I used to say an information war, but then everybody thinks that I'm talking about what's his name, Alex Jones. No, we're facing a knowledge war. And a war where, again, we have to get, if we inform the people of the truth, then we can overcome the emotion. But when the emotions, especially as it pertains to guns, when the emotions take over, people, for whatever reason, they lose their common sense. It's like, we need, somebody goes in with one particular gun. Okay, well, we need to take away the AR-15s. Okay, but they didn't use an AR-15. He was using a pistol. Well, I know, but we can't take away the pistols yet. I don't know. Again, we have to use the knowledge that we put out there. So that brings me to my final question. We are faced with, problems, obviously, from a political perspective. We've talked about at the national level. We've talked about at the local level. We've talked about things that we need to do. I want to ask you, based upon your experience, what should individual people, the true grassroots, what do we need to do to defend our sector? Because here's the thing, we might say, oh, everybody knows what to do. They already know about the NRA. They already know about SAF. They already know about GAO and all GOA and all that stuff, except they don't, because thanks to the pandemic, we just inserted an additional 30 million gun owners that we didn't have in 2019. So there are still a lot of people out there who don't know how to personally defend their rights. What advice would you give people, and where should people go to participate in the grassroots?
I think the first and most important thing for gun owners who want to protect their rights is to get up off the couch and stop depending on the other guy or that organization in Virginia or the organization out here in Bellevue, Washington, to do their fighting for them. You may not be interested in politics, but trust me, politics is interested in you. And if you don't stand up for your own rights, don't expect your neighbors to do it. You're in the fight whether you like it or not. And by allowing somebody else to cast a vote when you just say, oh, I'm too busy, I don't want my name on a list, I don't want you, and I've heard all the excuses, trust me, they don't hold water. You've got to be involved. You've got to educate yourself about who's running. You've got to be darn sure that you get an opportunity, you use it to talk to these candidates. study what they're saying, pay attention to that. You know, it may not be as entertaining as Leave It to Beaver reruns, but ultimately it's going to catch up with you. And the next thing I think that people have to remember is that the NRA, the Second Amendment Foundation, Citizens Committee, all of these organizations, their funding doesn't come out of nowhere. You've got to support these organizations because they depend on you, the members, the supporters, to keep up the good fight. And that's really important. It's more important than a lot of people want to admit or even care to realize, that without your support, these guys will not be able to do the things that they're doing. And without them, you're going to be in real trouble. You know, we've got to all stick together on the gun side of this issue. If you do value the Second Amendment, if you don't, if you're just somebody's, yeah, I'm a gun owner. Well, I got a gun from my dad and it's been in the closet for 47 years. I don't know what kind of gun it is. That's the kind of lethargy that ultimately is going to bite you on the rear end. So get active, be sure what your politicians are interested in. And this goes all the way down to even the school board level. Make sure what's going on in your local communities, who's running for city and county council. Get involved with these people if you want to. But make yourself known in the political community. Because if you don't, if you stay back in the shadows, somebody's going to run over you because they can't see you standing in their way. And that's about the best way I can put it.
That is a perfect way to put it. Yeah, they say that 94% of statistics are made up, which is why I'm going to say this one with a grain of salt. I heard the other day a statistic that if you took every member of the NRA, Gun Owners of America, SAF, all of the various gun groups, and if every single member gave an additional $50 to their respective organizations, that it still wouldn't match what Michael Bloomberg puts towards taking away our gun rights every year. I haven't done the math. It sounds real, but it echoes and reinforces what you're saying. The big money is trying to take away our guns. It is the grassroots money that is required to protect it. Dave Workman. Go ahead.
I think that's the one important thing we can take away from this conversation. There are a handful of gazillionaires out there, and they are elitists, and they think that just because they've got a boatload of cash, they can tell the rest of us how to live. Now, you may want to exist in that kind of an environment, but I don't.
Well, I want to have a gazillion dollars. Oh, no, wait, that's not the environment you're talking about. Never mind.
Well, yeah, I identify as a billionaire. It just haven't worked out yet.
So. Yeah, I'm just waiting for the woke crowd to send me my check.
Yeah, there you go.
Dave Workman, it has been an honor and a pleasure having you on, sir. We do need to get you on again in the future because this was a blast. Let's talk soon, sir.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey there, freedom-loving carnivores. It's Jeff Dornick from Freedom First Network, and I've got a message for you. Are you tired of feeling like your beef choices are under siege? Well, fellow patriots, it's time to fight back with Prepper All Naturals. That's right, folks. In a world where the beef industry is under constant attack, Prepper All Naturals is here to stand tall and proud as a veteran-owned beacon of quality, taste, and freedom. When the guys at Prepper All Naturals set out to provide you with the finest beef products, they knew they had a duty to defend America's beef legacy, and that's why we're proud to partner with them, bringing you the best of what this great land has to offer. Whether it's their succulent freeze-dried beef cubes or their premium freezer boxes packed with steaks and roasts, we're redefining what it means to enjoy beef today and tomorrow. And let me tell you, folks, their freeze-dried beef isn't just delicious, it's built to last. With proper stores, their beef cubes can maintain their quality and freshness for up to a decade, ensuring you'll never have to compromise on taste or nutrition. But wait, there's more. They're not just in the business of selling beef. They're in the business of defending freedom. That's why they promise to never sell you anything less than 100% all-American natural beef. No lab-grown imposters, no experimental jabs, and certainly no compromises with the woke agenda. So, fellow beef enthusiasts, join us in our mission to protect America's beef legacy. Visit freedomfirstbeef.com and use code FFM for 15% off your order. Because when you choose Prepper All Naturals, you're not just eating well today, you're eating well tomorrow. And together, we'll ensure that beef remains a symbol of freedom for generations to come. Prepper All Naturals, where beef meets freedom.
Hey, welcome back. You're on with Two Mics with the news update for Freedom First Network. Dr. Michael Shewitt and Colonel Mike going to run down a few items for the news break on the NOC report. Good morning, Dr. Shewitt. How are you?
Colonel, I'm fine and delighted to hear from you.
Oh, it's a great day in the neighborhood. Had a little drizzle last night. The winds finally came through. It warmed up. I opened up the window, slept like a baby, and that's why I got up late.
Well, that happens, and my dad always used to say, if you can sleep, you need it.
That's right, sir. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but I know you're good at this stuff because you always write things that are super duper and use these nice, polite words. But I just want to go to Scotland this morning for our listeners.
Oh!
And I discovered, believe it or not, in Scotland that they have the word for Dr. Fauci. Which is
really?
Dr. Fauci. So we're going to give him a new name. And this morning I'm going to use the name, and I guess you probably know the definition. It's called Cockwomble.
Cockwomble. Cockwomble. Yes. Well, I have my old Scottish dictionary here.
Go ahead.
And I'm going to, I'm looking it up. I'm on A, B, C. Here it is. Colonel, it's perfect. Cockwomble. It means a person, usually a male, who is prone to make outrageously stupid statements or inappropriate behavior while generally having a very high opinion of his own wisdom and importance.
That's it?
Yeah, I think that's Fauci's autobiography.
That is Fauci. He is the cockwomble of America.
He is. America's cockwomble.
We have to find another definition in the beautiful Scottish language or the Irish language for Dr. Mummy. I mean, President-elect Mummy or supposedly President Mummy. You saw the video this morning, correct?
Yes.
He had a press conference with like a school desk in some room somewhere. I don't know where it was. And after he spoke, he looked to his left and he goes, "What do we do now, Jerry?" And he goes, you all have to leave the room now. We got to change his diapers. Okay, bye. You know?
No questions. We don't have time.
No, we don't have time for questions. You can...
Go talk to Mr. Cockwomble.
Cockwomble. Or you can talk to Zuckerberg's sister, Jen Psaki.
Yeah.
It's just like... Hey, by the way, Mike, you know that Zuckerberg, they said he's the largest... funder of lobbyists in Washington. He beats all other companies. You wonder why.
Well, they've broken so many laws in terms of monopoly and kind of antitrust things that if they don't keep running, somebody's going to catch them. And then they're going to pay so many of those billions that they've gotten for nothing are going to go into the treasury.
Well, this is a news break, so tell me what you'd like to speak about. There's so much good news, Mike, every day.
Oh, every day there's more good news. Now, the one I wanted us to take note of this morning is the Epoch Times is running a story that the Biden administration is going to ask the Supreme Court to allow police forces to break into your house without knocking and without a warrant and search and seize whatever weapons you have in the house. And they're saying that they need this authority to prevent suicides.
Oh, now,
see, okay. It's a health measure. It's probably a Fauci idea, but it's another health measure from these geniuses. I have a hunch, though, that it is because it's completely unconstitutional. The Supreme Court could always say yes, but I think someone should make an appeal to the court to say this is. Really, the Democrats and their supporters and the Democrat supporters and the police trying to commit collective suicide. They've been so utterly unable to govern the United States in any effective way without hurting the citizenry and the government of the country
that they're ashamed, but they don't have the guts to kill themselves. So they want American citizens to kill them for what they did. And if there's anything that's going to get them killed, it's going to be coming through a door with no warrant, no knock, no nothing. They'll be greeted with a unfriendly inhabitant, perfectly within his rights to defend his home. So I'm interested to see how this one works out.
I think, Mike, you're absolutely correct. I mean, this is just a power play of just saying, look, we already beat you on the First Amendment, you know, freedom of speech. We put Zuckerberg and what looks like the Unabomber, the head of Twitter, you know, in charge of your free speech.
Yeah.
And we basically ripped off your election, not once, but twice. And we neutered you and you did nothing. So we think it'll be easy to do. Now, the fact that we have the right, the Second Amendment, the Constitution, and, you know, like you said, with the Supreme Court, you never know. Then they are looking to commit suicide, I think, too. There's going to be a time, I think, in this country. And people in my dad's generation used to say, you'll probably live to see them hung at lampposts. You know?
Yep. Yep.
And there's going to come a time. Now, with a renegade and a fruitcake that he is, what's his name? Roberts. Anything's possible. Okay. But if they thought for 1 minute that those hooligans that, you know, went around last summer and broke balls on Huckabee and people like that,
yeah,
going out with their family, if they thought that that was what made them shit their pants, like Kavanaugh, you know, and what's her name, the lady who got on the court.
Yes.
That's why they voted the way they voted. If they thought that was, they have no idea what they're in for.
No, I think that's right. I think they live in such a bubble that when they're greeted with enormous amounts of lead instead of cookies and milk, it will be a surprise as they pass away on the lawn.
They have not reviewed the past history of how communism takes place. You know, the Bolsheviks, Cuba, Venezuela, you know what I mean? All of the useful idiots, as Stalin used to say, eventually go. Okay, but it's not going to be from the communist side as much, you know, the Chinese side, let's say, and the infiltration of China as is going to be the citizens, because that's the last straw.
I think that's right, Colonel. I think they're in for from our side, a pleasant surprise, a pleasant duty, which it is a duty to prevent oppressive government and authoritarian government. But from their side, it would be a surprise that we don't bend over again.
Yeah, that's what they're thinking. I think they're, you know, it's such a power grab. They figured, you know, and this has got to be orchestrated by Obama and his people over
yep.
there.
Yep. It's just as you said, Colonel. You said many times, and you said this morning when we were speaking, that they think they don't have to abide by anything that's in the Constitution. They just don't care. And all the more reason that, you know, perhaps in every state that's ruled by Republicans, the assembly ought to offer a state tax deduction for anyone who buys a weapon and 1,000 rounds of ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
And just to prepare ourselves for these people are not Americans. They're just slavers. They're what the Democratic Party has always been, a party of slavers, slaveholders, slave traders, slave importers. That's what they are. It's just like 1850s over again. And it's time they're taught a very severe lesson.
Well, I think also, Mike, I want to say this to the listeners on the Knock, on the Freedom First Network and on this Knock Report update, that I want you to take a closer look now at your military and see what your military and your FBI is doing. Your military is split, I think. There's two militaries. There's one that's pro-American, other ones that are looking for the 30-year or 20-year payout. And eventually, when they infiltrate it with enough of these pansies, you know, and whatever they're putting in there, the trannies or whatever, these people will go against the American people. Okay, that group will. But the pro-American patriots that, you know, wear the uniform, I think they're aware of what's happening. It's like kind of a split. But you also have a renegade FBI who's using, you know, armed power, to knock down doors and take people out and surround them. And this is all, Mike, as you know, it's a psyops to get everybody scared. Ooh, they're going to come for you. They're going to raid your home. They're going to look in your home. What gives them the right to do that to people? Okay. What are they going to say? We know that you're going to use your Second Amendment. We know you have 10 guns. We know this and that. And we know you bought bullets last week at sporting goods store, that big sporting goods store, gosh, or Walmart, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you had these things delivered by Amazon or UPS, right? So we know. Well, you know what? What we do know is if we stop paying taxes, you can't run a country, right? Now you can put all the liens you want. Come and get it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You just defund them. You know what I mean? It's like a drug addict. You stop giving them drugs. You know, and that's what is. But this other thing is a last thing I want to say, and then you can go because I know we have a rush this morning. But I want to say something about Trump, which really was disappointment in a way. Trump came out and finally said something in the press, and believe it or not, of all networks, he won on Fox News, which was kind of disappointing since they called the election early.
Yep.
But he went on with this lady, this brunette lady, Lisa something. Don't recall the last name. I don't even remember who she is. I don't know who she is. You know, I've never seen her before. I heard her. But, I mean, she had one of the dumbest questions, Mike. Do you think the Bidens are corrupt and were in the pocket of China kind of thing? And I'm like, hello? Hello, did I just hear that? And this was the best they had. Why didn't he go on Tucker? Tucker's fighting like a machine gun.
He right? should have asked her, well, why do you think they clean their ears with chapsticks?
I mean, if then I don't want to say what color of the hair, but they're not dumb color of the hair. They're dumb of the other hair. I don't know what it is. But, you know what I mean? And it's like a Fox special. But you know where I found the clip? On Uncle Bill Still's video. Bill Still put it out there. And then he requested, he said, Mr. President, if you're available Friday at 7:30, you can come on my show kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
but that, I think, Mike, puts to sleep for now the Hopalong Cassidy, Wild Bill Hickok, Charlie Ward, Simon Parks. They're coming in on the white knight horse. Trump basically said, I gave Joe a letter and he could tell you what I wrote because it's not polite if I tell you. And he's basically saying on that show, I'm not the president. Now, I don't get it. If you won with all these votes, why aren't you saying you're the president?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? It's, you know, I think part of it is he's ducking the fire at the moment. He's letting the Democrats dominate the media. And the American people are seeing this. Flying illegal aliens to Montana to settle them. What do you think's going on there? It's
in Montana. Right?
I'm as much as you or more eager to see Biden strung up, not literally, but I mean strung up and taken home as what he is, a kind of a demented, irresponsible person. But I have to hope someone who's on our side is a better judge than I am of what should be done and when it should be done.
Well, you know what, Mike? I also want to say that I am very, very disappointed. And I've told you this before, of the Republican attorneys in Washington and around the country, these so-called patriotic Republicans, you know, country club establishment Republicans over the years, not one legal bastard has come out and said a word on any TV station or any network. Come on our show and do it. We're two mics. Come on and do it. And tell us why they won't defend people who are getting their doors knocked down in the middle of the night and their children and their wives stuck in the snow because they went to Washington to a protest. You're all a bunch of spineless bastards, okay?
All no doubt. No doubt. You know, a lawyer, if a lawyer was truly a lawyer, it wouldn't matter if he was a Republican or a Democrat because he'd go to the defense of people whose rights were being invaded. But there's none of them out there. They're all talkers. No action, all talk, and usually negative talk about the people who supported Trump.
Exactly. And this ACLU that we pay every time there's a burp, we pay with the public money
the ACLU to defend DACAs and RACAs and everybody else that needs a lawyer for free on our dime. Okay. You know, where's this foundation that Mr. Mark Levin opened? You know, the Landmark Foundation. Where are your guys, man? Come on.
Yeah, you know, that's really just to defend Israel, Mark Levin. You know, that's it's pictured as more than that, but it's just how can I get more American taxpayer money to the Israelis?
Mike, close it up for us. Tell us what else you got on the frying pan today.
That's about really all I've got, Colonel. I thought there was so much overnight that was, you know, ridiculous. Although the undercurrent, I would say, the undercurrent in the media is it doesn't get a lot of coverage except by the conservative alternate media. Some of these states who are reviewing the election are really taking it seriously. In almost all of the swing states, there's reporting that they're going to have hand counts. And there's another report this morning that one of the counties in Georgia are frantically trying to destroy all the ballots from this past election that were supposed to be preserved until December of 22. So maybe there's a little glimmer of hope there and we can get this false president and the gang of fools who are around him out.
Didn't you mention also that Kamala Harris cannot be vice president based on?
Well, I read a fascinating essay this morning that she's not only not capable legally of being president, but she's not capable of being vice president.
Mm.
At the time she was born, neither of her parents were U.S. citizens. And in addition, the moment she squalled for the first time after birth, she became a citizen of Jamaica.
Really?
Yes. Anyone born of a Jamaican is immediately an Jamaican citizen. And she's never, as far as I know, renounced Jamaican citizenship. So what was interesting to me is when I did the research on it, it appears that if you're not qualified to be president, you're not qualified to be vice president, because you have to be capable of taking over the president's office in event of assassination,
right,
or illness or death or however it comes about.
Whatever that 25th Amendment says, you know.
Yeah, she looks like she is completely.
She's a laughing hyena. You ever see her? She's always laughing. Mike, I'm going to have to say you're making me crazy. But don't forget.
Can you smell it? It's your favorite freshly ground coffee brewing in your favorite cup. If you're anything like me or my family, coffee is essential for our mornings. And even more essential is good quality coffee. Well, Freedom First Coffee is our preferred choice. Made from organically grown beans from Mexico and Peru, they're then roasted here in the USA. So head on over to freedomfirstcoffee.com and choose our Founders Blend in medium or dark roast, ground or whole bean. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And make sure you use promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, for 10% off your order. And if you really want to be a freedom lover, choose a monthly subscription so you will never be without your Morning Joe. Again, that's freedomfirstcoffee.com.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.